Chapter 2. Finer than Matter. We find that certain scriptures, such as the Upanishads, give mere statements with no rhyme or reason, with no explanation or justification attached. This is because such knowledge is meant for the higher level, where there is no possibility of any deception. Whatever is said there is taken by the listeners as complete truth. There's no room for doubt, because in that higher civilized plane, there's no possibility of any deception. The Upanishads say, "This means so and so," and the natural response comes, "Yes, it is so." There is no tarka, reasoning, and no doubt or anything of the kind, because the very plane itself is such that deception is unknown. So in the case of the Ved and Upanishads, we are cautioned, Achinta kaloje bhava na tangs tarkena jojayat. Don't take your reasoning and doubt into that higher stage. It is unnecessary there, where there is only plain speaking and fair dealing, with no trouble from anyone wanting to deceive another. Deception and unfair dealings are unknown there. This is the level of the Vedas and Upanishads, where rhyme and reason are unnecessary. But in a lower stage, the Smriti and Puranas come to give their advice in another mood. The Puranas are like friends advising, "Do this and you'll be benefited." They give examples. This person acted in such a way and received a good result, but this other did bad things and a bad result followed. So, my friend, please learn from this. Then the Shruti comes to our help by showing us how to apply these truths in our everyday life. The Kavya also approaches us and comes in a very sweet manner, like an affectionate wife, to advise, "Do this, it will be very good for you." But the Vedas take another approach, Achinja kaluje bhava nashtam tarkena jojayat. This subject matter does not come within the jurisdiction of doubt, reasoning and so on. Don't drag all these filthy things into such a sphere. In a lecture I gave an example to illustrate this. A mother gives a sweet to her son. She puts it in his hand, but he says, "Oh, it may be poisoned. I must go to the laboratory and examine it." It is a deplorable thing, and a very low type of civilization where such an attitude prevails. But in such a plane where affectionate and fair dealing is unknown, tark, bichar and yukti, discrimination, doubt, examination and inspection are all present. But that is really a filthy life. There is Krishna Smriti, and its opposite, Deha Smriti. Deha Smriti nohijar, sangsar kup kahan thar, taha hoiti na chahi udhar. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 13, 142. One who is unconscious of his material body has no worldly material connection. We are conscious of our material body and therefore have come in connection with the atmosphere of the material world. If we are independent of this material body, then we have no connection with the mortal world. This is the medium between the material world and the Atma, the soul. The mental system makes the first connection, then comes this body consciousness. After Shukadeva Goswami finished giving his Bhagavat discourse, in his conclusion, he gave warning to the audience, especially Parikit Maharaj, Tangtu Rajan Marishiti Pashu Buddhim Imam Johi. Bhagavatam 12.5.2. O King, do not think you will die. Give up this animal consciousness. Eliminate it fully from your thought, and do not allow your attention to come down to any material conception. Remain in your own soul conception. Take your stand firmly there. Why do you allow yourself to come down to the conception of this matter, the world, your body, and all these things. It is unnecessary. Don't allow your attention to come down to material consciousness. You are independent of that. Think of your soul, its higher achievement and prospect. Your transaction must be all upwards. Stick to that. You, the soul, are independent of these. Free from matter, you can live and move very happily. To think it not possible to stay without a body is animal consciousness, pashu buddhi. What is this? Why do you allow yourself to come into this consciousness of matter which is mortal? Don't allow yourself to come down to have experience of this material world. This is animal consciousness. You must kill it, butcher it. Tangtu rajan marishiti pashu budhing imang jahi. To think, I shall die, is animal consciousness. Just kill it once and for all. At the same time, try to soar up from soul to oversoul and beyond to the Narayan conception and onwards to the Krishna conception. Try to live in the connection of Braj and the divine damsels there who are all serving Krishna. Consider how they are so recklessly engaged in serving the sweet will of their Lord. Each one of them is always prepared and is the emblem of sacrifice. In Hitler's army, there was a suicide squad who were always prepared for anything and everything. Similarly, the Braja gopis are ready to give up everything for the slightest satisfaction of Krishna. They are prepared to sacrifice at a second's notice not only their whole body, but their entire prospect of everything in their connection. Fully risking everything, they have this highest standard of preparedness for the service of Krishna, and that is the highest standard of life. In them we find sacrifice to the extreme, sacrifice for the good, sacrifice for the absolute good, the absolute beauty, bliss and ecstasy. Your abode will be very near to him, according to your degree and intensity of sacrificing attitude. This is the close approach. By sacrifice we live, by enjoying we lose. By serving we thrive, and by enjoying we lose. And the position of renunciation is zero. No loss, no gain. But in comparison with the positive acquisition, it is loss. When there is no gain, then that is a loss. Renunciation, mukti, salvation, mere liberation, by whatever name it is called, is a loss in comparison with the positive attainment of a servitor. Reality is for itself. It is for nothing else than He. We are for Him. Our existence is meant only for Him. Our purpose is to serve Him. He is the integer. He is existing. He is all in all. And we are all subservient. So we are to dissolve our body consciousness, this animal consciousness. In a dream, a man may see that his beheaded body is fallen before him, but that does not affect his existence or his perception. The soul has a similar connection with this world. It is not affected. In a dream, he may see that although his body may be pulverized and the earth vanish from under his feet, he remains unaffected. Similarly, the soul's position is independent. It is not dependent on material existence, but it thinks that material things are indispensably necessary to maintain its existence. But this is wrong and a concoction. To stand on a material conception is not necessary for the soul. Although that worldly conception seems to be so very indispensable for our being, it is not so. We are independent from matter. Even the mental existence is independent of this gross material existence. What to speak of that of the soul? Soul has nothing to do with this matter, which is a foreign, concocted, dreamlike substance. Rather, the material conception is poison to the soul and is drawing him in the opposite direction from his real interests. The Mayavadis and the Buddhists consider that with the dissolution of the material conception, nothing remains. And Shankara says that only some non-differentiated consciousness remains, in which no individual conception can stand. But the Vaishnavas say, no, there is a world of reality made of higher stuff than your soul. Your soul is made of vulnerable consciousness, but there is a world of invulnerable consciousness. If you can manage to enter there, you will be happy. And only with the interest of rendering service there can you gain such entrance to that land. That sort of adaptability is within you. That is your swarup, your true nature. The adaptability to the positive life is inherent within the soul. You are to blossom and bloom, and when full blown, you will reach the Golok stage. Wrongly, we have adapted to matter, and this has drawn us into the negative side. Therefore, we are wandering in different stages. This fallen condition is not only unnecessary, but is injurious to the soul. Just as by taking water from in front and sending it behind him, a swimmer can make progress, so also by hearing and chanting, we can make progress. Shravan Kirtan Jali, Chaitanya Charitamrita 19.152. We are to hear, and what we acquire, we are to distribute to others. A swimmer makes quick progress by passing behind him the water in his front. Similarly, in spiritual terms, we are to receive from the capitalist and deliver that to the customers. Shravan Kirtan, by imbibing and exporting, we can make good progress, and the absolute capitalist will supply as much as the customers can receive from him. This is Mahaprabhu's advice. Jalideka Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh, Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila 7.128. Deliver these goods to anyone and everyone, and new light will come to you, which in turn you are to distribute to others. In this way you will have a dynamic and progressive life, and there will be no shortage of higher backing. Swami Maharaj invoked assistance from Krishna. He petitioned him, "Please come to my help. I've been ordered by your favorite to do this duty. Please help me. After finishing this duty, I shall again join your play in Vrindavan. There we shall play. We shall run. We shall jump, and we shall do anything and everything in a boisterous way together. But for now I have some duty which is necessary to discharge, and that duty has been ordered by your most favorite person. If you help me to carry this out, then your friend, that most favorite friend, will be pleased with you, and so you will get some advantage thereby." In this way he made his petition, "Krishna Tava Punya Habib Hai. You will acquire good merit if you help me." Krishna supported Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand, and afterwards his friends, the coward men and boys, told him, "You did not hold it alone. We also helped. We helped you with our sticks. Be reminded of it. You could not do it alone." They share the pleasure, and also they do not care to think about his extraordinary majesty, power, and so forth. They feel, "He is one of us, but very beautiful, and we cannot live without him. We don't know why it is, but somehow if he's not in our midst, we are all lifeless, and when he comes, we become enlivened like anything. He is their very life, and they consider, he possesses some peculiar power, no doubt. But still, he is one of us. If they should hear that he is God, then, no, no, he can't be God. We don't admit that. Rather, he is our friend. Who says he is God? We don't care for such grand claims. He is our friend, our very charming friend. Mother Yashoda also thinks, he's my son, but some people don't like that I live in peace. So they say he is God and he is this and he is that. Why do they say such things? He's my child, but they are so jealous and envious that they do not like that I may stay living peacefully with my son and husband. They're so envious that they say he is God and he is so and so. No, simply he's my child. Only they are unable to tolerate that I have such a beautiful child, and therefore they air so many different types of speculation. I don't like these things, and this is all a little ominous for my child. Why should he go to be a god? Human beings are real. Krishna Jattiko Kela Sarvatam Naralila Naravapu Tahar Sharup. Mahaprabhu taught that the human society is so valuable because Krishna is originally in this form. This human society is created after his original social style, and therefore it is so important. Sarvatam Naralila Naravapu Tahar Sharup. It is accepted in this world that the human creation is the highest. But the materialists all think we are masters of the fossil world. We don't have to give any explanation for our activity to anyone. We are the masters. That is the materialist scientific standpoint. But sometimes they are afraid. If higher cultured people are in Shukra Graha or any other star, should they come here, then we are nowhere. If in a flying saucer they should come once to attack us with any new types of weapons, then we are nowhere. But before this, they may fight with one another with atom bombs and destroy everything. Suicidal. This is, after all, the suicidal plane, the discordant plane where one cannot live without devouring his environment. That is the law of this land. If you want to live here, then you must devour your environment, otherwise you can't survive. So it is the suicidal plane. One is eating another, and only then he can live. That too is only for the time being. So is this a proper land to live in? Prasad, that is the highest solution. The principal necessities of any life here in this world are to preserve and to propagate. Our first priority is to preserve, and for self-preservation, we create havoc in the environment by exploitation. The first principle of exploitation begins from the urge for self-preservation, and that means eating. We are to adjust our dealings with the environment in our most primitive necessity, which we can't avoid in order to keep body and soul together. So if we can solve this one difficulty, we can almost solve the whole problem. Prasada seva korite hoy sokala prapancha jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the key to the solution of the whole problem of this mundane life is in prasad. The first necessity of life is eating, and if we can solve that problem, we have solved the whole thing. Prasada seva korite hoy sokala prapancha jai. The most important thing is to learn how we should take prasadam to maintain ourselves. Our life depends mainly on that. To live here, we cannot but consume, and we cannot but create devastation in the environment by our eating. If we go to consume anything, even plants, grasses or seeds, then microscopic creatures are being killed. So the question is how to get rid of this reaction. It is said in Srimad Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yogyatat karma nonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. We shall get relief from that reaction only if we can successfully connect everything with the supreme satisfaction, with him whose pleasure all existence is meant to fulfill. So in the taking of food, Really, we are to be conscious that we are collecting the ingredients for His satisfaction, and then cooking and offering to Him for His satisfaction. That should be our real purpose. And then, because our whole life and energy is for serving Him, we need energy and must take something out of that. But the main point, the real substance of the transaction, will be to collect, cook, and offer to Him according to His will expressed in the scriptures. That is the first step, and only after the foodstuffs have been offered to Him shall we take anything ourselves. This will help to make us always conscious of why we are taking. We are taking because we want only to serve Him. Furthermore, whatever has been accepted by the Lord, the poison, the bad reaction, will have been absorbed and digested by Him, just as in the case of Mahadev, who drank the poison generated from the ocean of milk. Krishna is absolute and can digest anything. Not only that, but those things which have been consumed in His connection also receive promotion. So actually there is no hingsa, violence. What appears to be hingsa is not really so, because those whom are apparently violently treated actually receive a high promotion through connection with the Supreme. In addition, whoever has been instrumental in fulfilling that connection will also receive some reward. So the devotee must think, what shall I take? I won't take anything from the world. I shall take only from my Master as His grace. It is His grace, His free grace to me, prasad. The word prasad means kindness, grace. The devotee will feel, whatever service I do, I'm not expecting anything to be paid to me in return. It is a free transaction. And whatever I receive is only His grace. So I shall take prasad. Then I shall be free from all entanglement of action and reaction, even though I am in the midst of it. Because it is a fact that with every action I must disturb the environment, then if all my actions are meant for Him, the Supreme Lord, there will be no bad reaction coming to me, but rather the opposite reaction will occur and help not only me, but those that were offered also. Through me, through myself as a center, such waves will emanate that will help others to progress in their path of purification. So, through the godliness in his heart, everyone must be a purifying agent. God is on the throne of the heart, and from there he will emanate such a fine ray which will purify not only that person's heart, but also the environment. Vaishnava means a purifying agent who emanates goodness, absolute goodness, everywhere, through his movements, his words, his actions, everything. Deed, thought and word, kai, mana, vakya. A Vaishnava is an agent of auspiciousness. Te Vaishnava bhavana mahshu pavittayati. There are so many Vaishnavas, and by their chanting the holy name, by all their practices, and by their whole lives, they are like so many purifying agents. By proper knowledge, proper dealings, and proper conduct, they set everything in its proper position and create adjustment in the domain of maladjustment. This world is maladjusted, and the balancing agents, the unifying factors, are the Vaishnavas. Just as there is a germ, a virus which spreads a particular contagious disease, so there must be the opposite of that, something which emanates only a pure and healthy atmosphere, and that is the Vaishnava.